Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3? Matthew chapter 3. Now, what we're going to talk about today is water baptism and spiritual baptism, okay? Whether you have to be water baptized or not. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. I want you to notice in verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now Jordan is the river Jordan, and so most of you out there know that John was out there baptizing people in the river Jordan. Let's go on, verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Now, what we have here is we have Scripture telling us about the water baptism, how it first got started. It started with John the Baptist, and he was out there water baptizing people unto repentance. Now, a lot of people take these verses here and say, see, you need to get water baptized in order to be saved. And what they'll do, they'll go down to verse 15 and say, look, Jesus got baptized. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. And so they teach water baptism is necessary for salvation. Now, some people don't teach is necessary for salvation. Some people just teach you need to do it to join their church or whatever. But what I want to show you is that water baptism is not necessary for salvation today. All right, let's go on. I want you to go to let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now, all through the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, the 12 apostles were going out there water baptizing people unto repentance. All right, that was their gospel they had. They were preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were water baptizing people. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 28, notice in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So what we have here is we have Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the 12 apostles. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, some denominations, they argue over how you're supposed to water baptize. Some say, well, you're supposed to do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some say you're supposed to do it in Jesus' name. And so there's a big argument there about how you're supposed to get water baptized. Now, what I want to show you today is you don't need to get water baptized. Okay, we are living during the dispensation of the grace of God, and it's not necessary to get water baptized. And a lot of people say, well, what about all this water baptism stuff we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? All right, well, this was an intricate part of their salvation, was getting baptized unto repentance. Okay, now watch, I want to show you in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, notice in verse 14. It's talking about when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It says in verse 14, Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye unto all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So what we have here is we have scripture that people use, and they say, well, look here, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what they're saying is it's mandatory to get water baptized in order to be saved. And you cannot get saved unless you're water baptized, which I'm going to show you that is not applicable for today. But what we have here is we have scripture saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But first of all, let me show you in the book of Luke where water baptism is not necessary for salvation. And it wasn't necessary for salvation when Jesus died on the cross. Let's go to Luke. The book of Luke. All right. So what we have here is Jesus Christ, they hung him up on the cross, and they had two thieves, one on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, it says, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So what we have here is we have scripture telling us, the Lord says that man that asked him to remember him, he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, does it say, let's go over it one more time, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, sorry, buddy, but you need to get off that cross and go get water baptized. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. Okay? Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was no way that man could get off that cross and go get water baptized. But Jesus Christ saw the man repented, and he told him, he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So what we have here is we have a man that's going to have eternal life, okay? But this man did not get water baptized. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. Now, after the crucifixion and Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, he told the apostles to wait at Jerusalem and they would receive the Holy Spirit, and which they did. And also, Peter was preaching. Now, notice what he says. I'm going to show you a very, very popular verse. Notice in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, now what we have here is we have Peter. He's preaching a murder indictment unto the Jews. He's telling them that they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice in verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what we have here, we have Peter preaching. He is preaching, repent, and be baptized. And this baptism they have here is water baptism. Make no mistake about it. He's preaching repentance and water baptism. And watch what happens here. He says, if you do this, if you repent and get baptized, what's going to happen to you? He says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I got a question for you. What did you have to do to receive the Holy Ghost? Well, according to the scriptures, you had to repent and be baptized, okay? And if you did that, you would receive the Holy Spirit. So this is how it was, okay? But I want you to fully understand, all right, that Peter is going to the Jews and to the Jews only. Now watch. I want you to go back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. I want you to notice in verse 5 it says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what we have here, we have the Lord Jesus Christ instructing the 12 apostles. He tells them, you go only to the Gentiles. And that's all they had intentions of going to. Now, I want you to go to the book of Acts. All right. Now, Peter is preaching. All right. Notice in Acts chapter 2 again, I want you to notice in verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the men of Judea. And all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now I want you to know, at the time of this Feast of Pentecost, a lot of Jews from all over the place came to worship at the Feast of Pentecost. Now watch. I want you to go back up to Acts chapter 2. I tell you what, we'll start in verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, where were these Jews from? They were from every nation under heaven. Now, if you remember the Old Testament scripture, Moses said the Lord was going to scatter them. And Nebuchadnezzar went into Jerusalem and into the land of Judea and went over there and destroyed Jerusalem, and he scattered the Jews among all nations. Okay? So what we have here is these Jews were coming to Jerusalem to worship. All right? Now, notice in verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Who were they? They were Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So what we have is we have these Jews that were scattered among all nations. And right here he lists some of the nations that they came from, all right, to worship at the Feast of Pentecost. All right, verse 14 again. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So what we have, he says, ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, talking to those Jews that came to Jerusalem to worship. Now notice in verse 22, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Okay, who's he talking to? He's talking to the men of Israel. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both the Lord and Christ. All right? Notice here, he's talking to the Jews, and he says, talking about Jesus Christ being crucified, he says, whom ye have crucified. And Peter is telling them that the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have here is we have Peter is preaching to the Jews and to the Jews only. Please understand that. He's preaching to the circumcision. He is not preaching to the Gentiles. He's not preaching to the uncircumcision. Now watch. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, notice in verse 29. All right, what had happened here is the officers came, and what they took him and put him in prison. All right, and the Lord pulled Peter and him out of prison. Now watch, I want you to notice in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jews. He says, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So who is Peter preaching to? He is preaching to the nation of Israel. All right? And what is he preaching? Repent and be water baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what Peter is preaching. Now, as we've taught earlier, the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and what happened is Jesus Christ stood up and he judged the nation of Israel in unbelief. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is being stoned. Now, watch in verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So what we have here is we have Stephen saying he's looking up into heaven and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now the Bible says Jesus Christ only stands for two reasons. Now watch. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3, notice in verse 13 it says, The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. All right, so the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 7, he's doing one of two things, okay? He's either pleading with the people or he's judging the people. Now, we already know that he was pleading with the nation of Israel all the time he was alive and preaching to them. And after the cross, we showed you earlier that he gave them one more year. All right, or another, the same year, this year also, he says. So what we have here is the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands up, he judges the nation of Israel in unbelief, and he gives salvation unto the Gentiles. Now watch, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, Paul is talking to the Gentiles. Notice in verse 30. He says, For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Talking about Israel's unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Well, when did God conclude them all in unbelief? Well, when Jesus Christ stood up and he judged the nation of Israel in unbelief, that is when God came to his conclusion. He says, they're all in unbelief, and now what I'm going to do, I'm going to have mercy upon all. And he gave something called the dispensation of the grace of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, all right, in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Notice he's talking to the Gentiles. He says, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So what we have here is we have Paul telling us about the dispensation of the grace of God that he has given to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ stood up in Acts chapter 7 and judged the nation of Israel in unbelief, and he turned right back around and opened the door to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles might be saved. He called the Apostle Paul and showed him that he was going to send him to the Gentiles. But he also had to show Peter what he did. Notice in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Now, Acts chapter 10 is a very big turning point. It shows us a lot of things, okay? Now, I want you to understand that Peter had no intentions, none whatsoever, to go to any Gentiles, the uncircumcised Gentiles. But God showed him a vision, all right? Now, watch. In Acts chapter 10, notice in verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now watch verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So Peter wasn't absolutely sure what this vision meant, okay? But the Lord showed him, they got some men coming, and you go with them. And he went down to Cornelius' household. Cornelius was an uncircumcised Gentile. Now notice what happens when Peter gets there. Notice in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. Now watch verse 28. Okay, now watch it. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay? Now, Peter flat out told him, he says, Look, you know I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a Jew. You're an uncircumcised Gentile. I'm not supposed to come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me, all right, that I should not call any man common or unclean. Well, when did he show him? He showed him right here in Acts chapter 10 when he got the vision. Okay? So, here's what Peter asked him. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? Now here's the question that Peter asks him. He goes, Why am I here? Why did you call for me? Okay? For what intent have you sent for me? All right, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he goes on and tells him what happened. All right, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, notice he says here, verse 36, The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. All right, notice he is saying this is the word that was preached unto the nation of Israel. Okay, this is the word sent. It wasn't sent to the Gentiles. But he says, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. All right, now watch, let's go on. So what we have here is Peter preaches to them Jesus Christ. Now watch this amazing thing, what happens. Notice in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice in verse 45, it says the circumcision, all right, all those people that came with Peter, they were amazed, they were astonished. Why? Because that the Gentiles, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. This wasn't supposed to happen, people. All right? That was not the prophecy. All right? I want you to go to, let's go to Acts chapter 2. All right? Acts chapter 2, he said, notice in verse 16, he says, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. All right? And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This prophecy out of the book of Joel, all right, was determined upon the nation of Israel. He says, your sons and your daughters, all right? So what happened was, here we have the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit too. Well, the Jews are going, whoa, wait a minute, this ain't supposed to happen. And they were astonished because the Gentiles were receiving the Holy Ghost too. Now, watch what happens. Watch. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now here's the thing. What did they get first? Did they get water baptized first, or did they receive the Holy Spirit first? Well, it's very easy to see they received the Holy Spirit first. Okay? But that's not how it was supposed to be. Notice, hang on to Acts chapter 10, and I want you to go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? So what we have here is, we have people receiving the Holy Spirit. All right? In Acts chapter 10, they were receiving the Holy Spirit before they got baptized. Okay? But here it says, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you had to be baptized first, and then you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, question. Go to Acts chapter 10 again. So what we have is a flip-flop situation. All right? Peter was preaching, okay, if you repent and get baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, so Peter's preaching unto the Jews, unto the Gentiles, and he says, he preached to them Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost before they got water baptized. In other words, they received the Holy Spirit by faith. They did not receive it by water baptism. They received it by faith. Now watch, let's go on. All right. Notice in verse 47, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Question, do lost people receive the Holy Spirit? No, they do not. Okay? Only saved people receive the Holy Spirit. Now, a question for you. What if Cornelius would have told Peter, Why do I need to get water baptized? I got the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Okay? But Peter, he's been preaching water baptism for a long time, and he says, Hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be out there water baptizing people. All right? So what does he do? After Cornelius and his household receive the Holy Spirit, then he goes, let's get them water baptized. Let's do it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what they did. Now, most of you out there know that the apostles had a problem with Peter going to these uncircumcised Gentiles. Now watch. Notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 11, And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it in order unto them, saying, and then he tells them the story about the great sheet and everything, and about what happened to Cornelius' household, and about them receiving the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Notice in verse 15, he's still talking to the apostles. In verse 15 he says, And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, notice in verse 16. We have it up here on the screen. Now, watch verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, how many baptisms do you see in this verse? Okay? I see a baptism of water and a baptism with the Holy Ghost, okay? So what we have here is we have two baptisms now. All right, now in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the very beginning there, all we saw was one baptism. It was a baptism with water unto repentance, okay? But now we have two. We have a water baptism, and we also have a spiritual baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul goes on preaching. All right, now you got to understand the dispensation of grace has started. Things have changed. Okay? A lot of things have changed. They don't need to get water baptized anymore. I mean, you can go out and get water baptized today if you want to, but I mean, it doesn't do anything but get you wet. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation or receiving the Holy Spirit or anything like that. Okay? Now watch. Let's go on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, If water baptism was very, very important for salvation, okay, I would be out there baptizing as many as I possibly could, okay? But let me show you something about the water baptism. It's not that important, okay? It's not necessary for anything, okay? I want to show you where God, where the Apostle Paul thanked God that he only baptized a few. Now watch. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice in verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Notice in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, if water baptism was so important, why would the Apostle Paul thank God that he baptized just a few? Now watch, let's go on. Verse 15, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. Okay, in other words, he says I baptized these over here, other than that, I don't know if I baptized any of them at all. Okay, notice in verse 17, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, if you remember, Peter was preaching, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But Paul says here, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Okay, Paul's preaching the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died and paid for your sins, that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, and he's preaching that water baptism is not necessary for salvation. You do not need to get water baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. Now watch. All right, I want you to go to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, all right, in Galatians chapter 3, notice in verse 14, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, notice it says here that they, the Gentiles are going to receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, okay? It ain't got a thing to do with water baptism, okay? Look what happened to Cornelius. Okay? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He received the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in tongues and that kind of stuff. And Paul says here that the Gentiles are going to receive the promise, not by water baptism, but by faith. Okay? Now, I showed you in the very beginning, okay, we had water baptism. Okay? And then a little while later on, we saw in Acts chapter 11 where Peter said, that there's a water baptism and then there's a baptism with the Holy Ghost. Well, today, during the dispensation of grace, let me show you that there's only one baptism. Watch. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice in verse 1 it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay? Notice he says here, one baptism. All there is today, people, is one baptism. Well, wait a minute. Didn't I show you two baptisms in Acts chapter 11? We saw the baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Paul says there's only one today. Okay? Well, which one is it? Well, let's go find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 13 it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. All right, so what we have today is a spiritual baptism. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're baptized into the body of Christ, people. That is the spiritual baptism we receive today. All right, you do not need to get water baptized. A while back, I remember they all had a preacher here in town that would always put an ad in the paper. And he would condemn those people about not getting water baptized. He always preached water baptism necessary for salvation. So I called him up one day. And I said, yeah, and I introduced myself. And I said, yeah, brother, I said, look, your ads in the paper are offending me. I said, because you're saying that I'm going to hell because I haven't been water baptized. And he was astonished. He didn't know what to say. I guess nobody ever called him up and complained about it before. I said, sir, you're not saying it flat out. You're saying you got to be water baptized to be saved. So what you're saying is, if you don't get water baptized, you're not saved. I said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all my sins at Calvary. I gave my life to Him, and I put 100% trust in my Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, but I haven't been water baptized. You're telling me I'm going to hell when I trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all my sins at Calvary. So I said, what I'd like to do, I'd like to have a debate with you over this issue, okay? Nevertheless, we didn't have a debate, okay? He ended up backing out, all right? Now, so what I have here is we have Scripture telling us there's only one baptism today, and that baptism is by the Spirit. Notice in verse 13 it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, we've already discussed, if you remember, about the different Gospels, okay? There was a Gospel that Peter preached, and there was a Gospel that Paul preached. Peter's Gospel had water baptism in it, okay? Paul's Gospel does not have water baptism in it. Paul's Gospel teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, once again, all right, notice in, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 real quick. In Acts chapter 2, notice in verse 38, once again, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, once again, you had to repent and be baptized in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, all right, notice in verse 12 it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So what you have to do, people, is believe the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be water baptized today. In fact, I refuse to water baptize people. People ask me, well, Brother Jerry, why don't you water baptize? I say, well, I don't need to water baptize. And let me tell you something. If I did go around water baptizing people and say, well, this is just in case, okay? That wouldn't show much faith, would it? All right? Well, I go around and I tell people I do not water baptize. Water baptism is not necessary for salvation. All you need to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for your sins at Calvary. Go to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, all right, Romans chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 9. This is how Paul tells you what it takes to be saved. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, do you see water baptism anywhere in this verse? All right? Does it say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and get water baptized and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? No, it doesn't say that, because water baptism has nothing to do with your salvation today. Paul said there's only one baptism today, and that baptism is the baptism with the Holy Ghost when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.